Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.
Everyone, welcome to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland, where it finally feels like the holiday season with a little snow in the area this weekend. I know there's some warmer temperatures coming next week, but hey, at least it feels like the hot stove comes into play on a weekend like this, and it's what we're more accustomed to here in Northeast Ohio, and our hot stove shows continue, and the Indians with quite a few moves over the past week to 10 days to try and bolster that roster heading into spring training, and still a lot of time remaining until the team heads west to Goodyear, Arizona. So a lot getting done this week, most notably the official signing of outfielder Rajay Davis, and then the speculation, a lot of reports out there from varying media, but not confirmed yet by the Indians, not officially announced yet by the Indians, but Mike Napoli is a player that appears to be headed this way based on those media reports. So we may hear something from the Tribe in the next couple of days or so. Also on this week's show, we will hear from Chris Antonetti about some of the moves this week. We will hear from Rajay Davis. He'll join us and talk about his new team. And we will also visit with Ken Schnacki, the president and general manager of the Columbus Clippers, a happy man as the Indians and the Clippers have agreed to an extension of their player development contract through the 2018 season. So a lot to get to this week on Tribe Talk. Stay with us. We get rolling after this timeout on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field, downtown Cleveland, where the offseason continues for the Tribe. And it's really starting to pick up steam as the Indians laid the groundwork for some deals at the just-completed baseball winter meetings down in Nashville. And this week we saw some of the deals completed. A lot of minor league deals with major league invites to spring training camp for various players. And we'll get to those after we hear from Chris Antonetti. But most notably, speculation that Mike Napoli, the slugging first baseman, right-handed hitter, is going to be reaching an agreement with the Indians. That has not been officially announced by the Tribe, but there has been quite a few media reports that that has happened. So, of course, for our purposes, we do wait until the Indians make things official, and at least at the time of our recording here early Saturday morning, we have not had official word that Mike Napoli has signed his contract with the Indians, but there certainly is heavy speculation that he will. A player who has signed with the Tribe is outfielder Rajay Davis, 35 years of age now, but a real nice major league career going. The last two of it spent with the Detroit Tigers. When we heard from Chris Antonetti meeting with the Cleveland media, Chris touched on a variety of subjects, the Michael Brantley shoulder injury, the latest update on that, also the progress of Bradley Zimmer and Clint Frazier down at the minor league level. But he focused on the signing of Rajay Davis, what that means, and also the corresponding move with Chris Johnson, designated for assignment. A pretty big contract there that the Indians are willing to walk away from as he's been designated for assignment. But most importantly, Chris talked about the impact that Rajay Davis can have on this year's ball club.
As you've all got a chance to see, Rajay, across the field, Rajay's a really good player that's got a lot of versatility. As an outfielder, as a right-handed hitting outfielder, he can play all three outfield spots and fits our team very well. He can serve a variety of roles. You know, he's been a part-time player, he's been a semi-regular player, and he's been a regular player, depending upon what a team needs. And we think he'll really fit well on our team and help provide some balance to, you know, some of our left-handed hitting outfielders.
Where do you see him playing mostly, Chris?
we know he's capable of playing all three. I think, you know, with Michael going to miss some time at the start of the season, Raj could get a lot of his time in left field and potentially occasionally in center against left-handed pitching.
Sorry, what went into the decision to designate Chris Johnson?
It was a tough decision, I think, as we looked at how we'd allocate playing time and our roster moving forward. We found it would be pretty difficult to get CJ some at bats. And so that kind of led to the decision. Again, a very difficult roster decision, but we're at that point in the offseason now that it's, each subsequent roster move becomes more and more painful because they're all guys that we like and have held on to for a reason.
Chris, with the amount of money that Johnson is owed, is that, you look at it like we've got to pay this guy one way or the other? How much is that coming for?
Yeah, I think what we've tried to want to is focus on what gives us the best chance at the best team. And that's the lens through which we try to make the decision. And, we didn't get there easily, but we felt that, as we looked at all of our alternatives, this was the direction we needed to go. Again, not something that was easy for us to do, not something we did lightly, but, we felt, some of the other decisions would have been not as beneficial for our team if we took someone else off the roster. This is one of the challenges of, as we talk about, it goes in cycles. Everyone talks about the Rule 5 draft and having to protect a lot of players for the draft and being upset or distraught by losing players. This is the flip side of that. Had we added or protected more guys on the, on our Rule 5 from the Rule 5 draft and added them to the 40-man roster, it makes decisions like this even more painful. So that's something that we're constantly weighing as we set our roster.
Chris, are you in position now in the next, before opening day, I guess, to make a bigger trade or another trade to improve the club? Or do you think, you're kind of where you might, you might be going into spring training?
I expect we'll make more moves before, before we get to spring training. I don't think this will be the last one. Whether or not there'll be, more trades or more free agent signings, difficult to assess because we're actively engaged on both fronts.
Do you have any update on Michael Brantley's shoulder?
Yeah, he's progressing well. Actually, he's in Cleveland right now. He's just down in the clubhouse a few minutes ago visiting with him, and he's doing well. He's progressing well. He's chomping at the bit to get our training staff to push things along a little bit more quickly because he's feeling so well.
Chris, can you speak at all to how much of a role having Frazier and Zimmer coming out might have played and how you guys viewed different outfielders this winter?
Yeah, I think both guys, have a very bright future among a litany of other players in our minor leagues that we think are going to be very successful major league players. But at this point, we're not, as we look to construct our roster, that's really not part of our planning. We're looking to build the best team we can in 2017. And that's really what our focus was heading into the off, or excuse me, 2016. Sorry. And that's really was our focus for the entirety of the offseason. And we felt Davis is a step towards that.
Where do you see him hitting? I know it's Tito's job, but where is he best suited for in the lineup, to hit in the lineup?
He could hit in a variety of spots. He's hit leadoff, he's hit second, he's hit towards the bottom of the order. So a lot of that will be determined by what our, what our team composition looks like come opening day and, how we balance left-handed hitters, right-handed hitters. So I expect that we'll have a number of moving parts between now and then. And, once things settle, we can determine that. But we envision him getting regular, regular playing time.
No, that's Chris Antonetti talking about a lot of subjects with the Cleveland media earlier this week after the signing officially of Rajay Davis. Now, the Indians late in the day on Friday made a deal with the Philadelphia Phillies. They acquired veteran right-handed relief pitcher Dan Otero for cash considerations. And Otero, he's 30 years of age now, has had off and on major league time with the Giants, the Athletics. Traded from the Phillies, but he was a waiver claim by the Phillies back in November, so he did not pitch for them this year. He's a former 21st-round draft pick out of the University of South Florida. His big season was with Oakland in 2014, really put together a nice year that year, finishing second in the American League in relief innings with more than 80 innings and also 72 appearances. So in a Terry Francona bullpen, he likes to hear that good durability on the part of a relief pitcher. So Otero will come to camp looking to battle for a spot in that Indians bullpen. A couple of numbers jump out at you if you like to delve deep into the numbers for Otero. He's averaged in his major league career just about a walk per nine innings, which is a great ratio. And he's only allowed 11 home runs in his major league career, and that's spanning more than 180 innings pitched. So keeps the ball down, throws strikes, things you like to see from a pitcher coming out of the bullpen. So Dan Otero's acquired in a deal with the Phillies late in the day on Friday. The Indians also re-signing right-handed pitcher Jarrett Grubb to a minor league contract, and he'll have a non-roster invite to Major League spring training. He's a veteran guy, 34 years of age, and came to the Indians signing out of the Mexican League back in June and went 9-0 in 15 games in the Tribes organization in the minor league. So some real nice things going on there for Grubb. He has appeared in one major league game. That was with the Angels back in 2014. Started his pro career back in 2004 in the Colorado Rockies organization. So Grubb signed to a contract, re-signed to a contract. A couple of others from outside the organization late last week. Veteran right-handed pitcher Felipe Paulino has signed a minor league deal with an invite to major league camp. Paulino, we've seen him in the past with Kansas City. This past year did not pitch in the major leagues. He was exclusively with the AAA Iowa Cubs. His last time in the big leagues was 2014 with the White Sox. Most productive season in the major leagues, probably have to go back to 2011 with Kansas City when he made 20 starts for the Royals, finished 4-6 with an ERA right around 4 runs a game. And the other signing recently for the Indians, Robbie Grossman, has been signed to a minor league contract with a major league invite. Grossman was some good time back in 2013 and 2014 with the Astros, and most recently was at the AAA level with Houston after being originally drafted and then traded to Houston by the Pittsburgh Pirates. So the Indians, again, trying to bring in some quantity here, some depth, and then see what shakes out in spring training in terms of their roster. So a lot going on. When we come back, we'll hear from Rajay Davis, the newest free agent major league signing for the Indians. The veteran outfielder joins us next after this timeout on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Don't forget our Twitter address is at Indians Radio. Information on what's happening on various shows right there. So if you want to join us on Twitter, you can do so at Indians Radio. Well, earlier this week, as we just heard from Chris Santinetti, the Indians signing veteran outfielder Rajay Davis, now 35 years of age, but one of the best base stealers in all of baseball the past several seasons of his career. In fact, heading into this season, Rajay Davis has more than 300 career stolen bases in the major leagues, 18 a year ago with the Tigers, 36 the year prior, and his major league best was 50 back in 2010 with the Oakland Athletics. A versatile outfielder who can play a variety of positions, and in signing with the Indians, Davis was saying when we caught up with him earlier this week, there's a lot to like about his new team.
Well, first off, I'm really thankful for Cleveland giving me this opportunity. It's definitely a great opportunity. What I'm really most excited to see is this great pitching staff that we have here. Having the pleasure to face a lot of these guys, you know, throwing, you know, in the mid-90s with their velocities and their off-speed pitches. It's a tough pitching staff, and I think they're only getting better. And it's definitely going to be fun playing behind these guys.
And we had heard your name being mentioned for a little while now, a couple of weeks, really. And how long have the Indians been on the radar from your perspective in terms of potentially signing with them?
Well, really, I kind of just left it up to my agent to figure out what was the best fit. We discussed, you know, where in the very beginning, where, possible places to go. And then, pretty much they handle it from there. And as far as the details, they would definitely have a better idea than I would.
When you look at the Indians, you mentioned that good pitching, and of course, you've been on the other side of what was a pretty good rivalry, Indians and Detroit Tigers, the past two seasons. What were things that stood out to you in terms of individual players and the type of team that the Indians have?
Well, I've definitely been impressed with Brantley and how he has developed over the years. He is definitely is a proven, all-star caliber player, consistent, and he's definitely someone I would like to learn a lot from. He's definitely a great asset to this team, and it's unfortunate that he had the minor setback last year with his shoulder injury, but I think he's huge. Huge impact on the middle of this order and driving a lot of guys in.
Rajay Davis joining us, new Indians outfielder, signed as a free agent earlier this week. And Rajay, you've had that good major league time with several different ball clubs. And at the age of 35, do you feel like you're still learning in this game and developing your game, or do you feel like you have a pretty good routine at this stage of your career to get the best out of your abilities?
Well, I think I've always been a late bloomer, and I believe I'm blooming now, and I think this is a great time. It's always nice to never really stop learning. I think you could always learn how to do something better, more efficient. More excellent, and that's my goal, to do things better, be better, and help this ball club win in a way that, we have not done in many years.
Individually, when you've had the playing time, you've put up some big numbers stolen base-wise. Is that still there, and do you have to do some things to make sure that you're as quick as you've always been on the bases?
Oh, that's still there. That has not gone away. When you just give me the opportunity to do what I do best, the results you will see them. And so that's definitely one of my strengths that I continue to make sure I maintain with my workouts, the nutrition and everything.
And those workouts come in your off-season home in the Northeast. You played your college ball at Avery Point Junior College, which I'm sure for a lot of fans in Cleveland is not a top-of-the-radar name in terms of a baseball school. But we were talking earlier, there is a Cleveland connection there, and for a junior college in the Northeast, a pretty good feeding ground for future pro talent. Tell us about one of the other players that came from Avery Point that went on to a pretty good major league career.
Yes, a good friend of mine, John McDonald. We call him Johnny Mac. He was playing with the Indians when I was in Avery Point, and we would go down for the spring, check out the Indians in spring training, and sit down and have dinner with Johnny Mac. One of those nights while we were down there. So that was an inspiration for me, knowing, a guy like Johnny Mac from the same area. We're built kind of like the same frame, and it just inspired me to really, really, really push to really believe I can make it. I mean, if he did.
And obviously, the talent has to be there, but what did that school provide from a baseball standpoint that allowed yourself, John McDonald, and you mentioned Pete Walker as well as a coach now with the Blue Jays, to make it to the major leagues?
Well, we actually were under the same coach at the time, Roger Bidwell, who just retired after winning his 1,000th career win at Avery Point. And so that's a milestone. And he has been instrumental in both of our lives in helping us to get to the next level. Johnny Mack was going to going on to play Division I baseball. For me, it was getting drafted through there, but they provided an opportunity and the resources to get better. And that was what they preached. You got to do something to get better every day. And if you wanted to, they had everything you need to get better. And that's what we did.
Rajay Davis joining us. He'll certainly be a big addition for the Indians in the outfield this coming season. And Rajay, just in closing, holiday time now and in the baseball calendar, where are you right now in terms of what you do preparation-wise for spring training and also just mentally to get away from the game for a little bit?
I don't know how far away I can get away from the game, but, you know, the training, I mean, personally, I mean, we're in, you know, our phase two of training, and, you know, we've built the foundation, and now, you know, we're kind of getting into our explosion and, you know, just making sure, you know, we have those quick twitch, you know, muscles firing. And, you know, I haven't really started the actual, you know, on the field type of thing, throwing, hitting, you know, just want to give the body a complete rest before we fire it up again and go hard all year.
That's Rajay Davis, Indians' new outfielder, signed to a one-year free agent contract earlier this week, and with the injury to Michael Brantley that could keep him out for a month or so, it appears at this particular time, Davis becomes a very valuable addition for the Indians heading into spring training. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll be joined by Ken Schnocke, the longtime president and general manager of the AAA Columbus Clippers. The Clippers and Indians have had a great relationship since aligning back in 2009. There have been a lot of wins down there, some championships as well, and the player development contract has been extended through the 2018 season. We'll talk to Ken Schnocke about that when we return after this timeout on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk, and we are pleased to be joined now by Ken Schnocke, who's the longtime president and general manager for the Indians AAA ball club down in Columbus, the Columbus Clippers, and great news on both fronts, the Indians side and the Clippers side, as the teams have agreed to an extension of their player development contract through the 2018 season. And Ken, on the surface, it just seems like an absolute no-brainer for that relationship to continue. And I imagine at a certain point in time, fairly easy negotiations between the two?
Yeah, it really was easy. You want to extend? Sure. How long? Well, let's just do 2 years and boom, it's done. So, you know, this marks our third two-year extension to an original four-year deal. So at the end of 2018, we will already have been partners for 10 years. And we find ourselves in Huntington Park, which I still call a new ballpark, will be 10 years old in 2018.
And you look at the success that the Clippers have had since the alignment, a couple of national championships and the three Governor's Cup championships, and I know it's so difficult in minor league baseball to have success on an extended basis. What do you think some of the keys have been since joining up with the Indians?
Well, you know, I think Columbus is very important to Cleveland, and we feel they're very important to us. So we work very well together, and, you know, the Indians have been protective of us a little bit, and, you know, we realize that we're the little brother, and, you know, our job first and foremost is to get our kids ready for the big leagues. So, you know, we're very blessed that we've sent an awful lot of people up north to Cleveland in the 7 years that we've been partners. So, you know, we've been lucky. We've won some championships, and, you know, obviously I'm a Cleveland kid, and, you know, I've never seen the Indians win a World Series in my lifetime, so I certainly hope during my tenure here that we're able to help the tribe accomplish that. But, you know, to win championships here, one of the important things is, you know, a really good AAA manager, and we've had a couple of those in Mike Sarbaugh and most recently Chris Tremme. Coming down the stretch, you know, you've got to have some veterans that even though they don't get called up, you know, they're playing for pride, and, you know, they have that innate ability to want to win, and then you hope you get a couple of call-ups from, you know, the Double-A club in Akron that gives us a little boost. And we've been very fortunate that in all of our championship years, we've had that formula that's come together under our manager and kind of gave us a big push in August to get there.
You mentioned the ballpark, and combined with the city of Columbus, does that become a factor, you think, especially for a veteran player who maybe's had some big league time, to be in that type of ballpark in a large city, certainly?
Well, I think so. And, I mean, we hear that the Indians have told us that, you know, six-year free agents are very more receptive to signing with Cleveland, knowing if they don't make the club, you know, they've heard so much about Columbus, they'd like to play here. It certainly had something to do with Adam Moore coming back and, you know, some of the guys that have come back in the past. So, it really is a nice place to play. You know, we're really proud of the ballpark. We just finished our seventh year. We've been named Ballpark of the Year 5 times, and most recently this past season. So, you know, to keep accumulating awards like that says something for our fan base and how well they support us and, you know, the relationship with the Indians and how well everything is just working together.
Ken Schnacki, the president and general manager of the Columbus Clippers, joining us on this week's Tribe Talk. And Ken, when you look back at this past fall and the playoff run that the Clippers had, Chris Tremme, you mentioned him, your manager, was up here just toward the tail end of the Indians' regular season, and he talked about the atmosphere for the playoffs in Columbus, especially the final home games that you had there. Take us back to that and some of the things that you did to overcome the challenges of drawing for the playoffs at the minor league level.
Well, you know, getting ready to start my 39th year with the Clippers, you know, you would have think I'm old hat at the fact that once September 1st rolls around and the vehicle called Ohio State football starts and school's in session, baseball and our playoffs get put on the back burner. But I just really got frustrated one night in this first round against Norfolk when we were letting this game slip away from us. It was on a Sunday night. You know, there's school the next night. The NFL was playing. The Buckeyes had played the day before. And, you know, the crowd, there were about 3,000 here, and they were making a lot of noise. But, you know, that doesn't compare to when we averaged 9,000 during the year. And I just, you know, something had to happen. I just walked into the press box and I said, however many more games we're going to get to play, we're going to let everybody in free. And I wish I could say I gave that a lot of thought and I'm a genius, but, you know, it was just something that kind of worked out. So the next 3 nights, the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night in early September, 35,000 people flocked to Huntington Park to cheer our guys on. And I really think that the atmosphere we had in here propelled our players onto the next round, because the energy in here was just unbelievable for those 3 nights.
And when you made this decision, did you hear from some longtime friends in the game who might have said, well, Ken, what are you doing?
Yeah, I did. And, you know, we have to share our gates in the playoffs a little bit like the major league teams do. We don't do that in the regular season. I had a few GMs calling me and saying, you know, you're not going to get away with this. And, you know, we paid whatever the league thought was necessary for us to pay. But, you know, it certainly resonated with our fans. It ends up being a thank you for, this was the seventh year that we've drawn over 600,000, and it's going to continue in the future in some format. I'm just exactly not sure how we're going to approach this, but we heard from so many people that had come to Huntington Park for the very first time because of what we extended, and it was just magical.
And you have some good perspective, because when the team was at Cooper Stadium and you were a longtime New York Yankees affiliate, there were some great clubs then. How has this affiliation, though, with the Indians in the new ballpark, has it exceeded some of the expectations that maybe you had when the alignment was first announced back in 2009?
No. You know, I knew the new ballpark was going to be a hit. It was just you know, it took us a long time to get here. I mean, there were 4 or 5 years of really public and private debate about where it was going to be located and then how we were going to fund it. I mean, there are no tax dollars in this ballpark. We had to raise all the money privately. So it took a while to get here, and we're about 2 miles as the crow flies from the old ballpark. But, you know, we're in the middle of this arena district in downtown. I mean, I'm sitting here looking out my window, and I could see the curved roof of Nationwide Arena where the Blue Jackets play. And this place is just energized, you know, year-round between the hockey team and the Clippers and the restaurants and the bars and movie theater here. We have a little concert facility next door, Promo West. And it's really neat to see this place alive at night, especially during the summer when it's light later and you've just got so much activity.
I know there's been a lot of great memories already for a ballpark that's less than 10 years old, and it's been a part of the Indians farm system since 09. And, Ken, it's great to hear it's continuing. Thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, and like I said, we're proud of all the guys we've sent to Cleveland that are former Clippers, and we know that's what they like to become, is alumni of the Clippers, and we just need to finish this project and help the Indians win a World Series.
That is Ken Schnocke, the president and general manager for the Columbus Clippers, the Indians and Clippers, extending their player development contract through 2018. Stay tuned. More to come as we continue with Tribe Talk after this timeout on the Indians Radio Network. Welcome back to Tribe Talk. Jim Rosenhaus back with you for our final segment on this week's show. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by Indians Vice President Bob DiBiasio with another Tribe Tale. But first, this reminder, the Team Shop is open this week. If you want to get that last-minute Christmas shopping in and you have a Tribe fan on your list, head on down to the Team Shop and check out some of the great buys they have down there on everything Indians in terms of apparel. And there's some memorabilia as well, all kinds of great things. And when you stop down at Progressive Field and the Team Shop, maybe take a little walk around just outside the home run porch out there in left field and take a peek at the field. Despite this weekend's occasional snow showers in the area and cooler temperatures, our warm October and November and early portion of December means the grass is still green. If you're missing baseball a little bit, take a peek in through the wrought iron gates and you'll see the field looking in as good a shape as it does during the regular season. So if you want just a little flavor of baseball there on your shopping visit to Progressive Field, by all means, stop on down. And if you're looking for a great stocking stuffer, the Tribe Six Packs are on sale now as well. The Holiday Six Packs. So go to Indians.com and check those out. You can order those online and be all set to go for the holiday season. Now, without further ado, let's send it to Bobby D for another Tribe Tale.
Here's a pitch. It's a slow curve. Fleeing at the whistling line. Drive to left.
Hey, talk about Mike Graham. Love it, Indians win.
It's time for another Tribe Tale with Bob DiBiasio.
Joining me now in this edition of Tribe Tales is former number one draft pick and pitching sensation during the magical 1997 postseason, Jarrett Wright. Jarrett, thanks for taking the time to connect with us. And before we dive into the baseball career and that wonderful ride during the 97 postseason, please catch us up on the family and what you're doing these days.
Bobby, good to talk to you, man. It's it goes by quick.
It does, it does.
I think about 97, goes by too fast, but I got my wife and I just had our fourth baby.
Very nice. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I'm pretty busy. Four kids, it's a lot of work, but I love it, man.
Any pitchers in the group?
So I got two boys that are 8 and 6, and then we just had two girls. So the 8 and 6, the 8-year-old just had his kid pitch season. So I'm trying to help him, and, you know, we'll have to see. I just want to make it fun for him, you know?
Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. Four little ones. You'll be hopping here for a long time. Good luck with that.
I'm right in the middle of it, Bobby.
That's perfect. At the age of 18, you're the Tribe's number one draft pick in 1994 out of high school in California, and you were also a quarterback and a linebacker. Can you take us back to the day you were drafted?
Yeah, it was amazing for me. Wasn't it all supposed to be roses back then? No injuries, no nothing.
Exactly. It was supposed to be free and easy, baby.
Yeah, people ask me, you know, about being nervous and all that stuff. I said, well, being young, you know, you don't really know any of that stuff. It's kind of, you're invincible. And then as you get older, the game gets harder. But, you know, when I was young, 18, and then 20, 21, that was an amazing time. And I enjoyed it. The World Series, you know, going there my first year, I thought you'd go every year. I'm like, this is easy. This is going to be great. And then you realize how hard it is. And, you know, I dealt with some injuries and stuff in my career. But, you know, all in all, I really enjoyed it and had a good time.
You make a steady rise through the Indians farm system. In 1995, you're in low class A. 96, you're in high A. You start 97 in double A, but you're not there long. You'd make a quick jump to triple A, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the big leagues on June 24th. You're starting in front of a sold-out home crowd of 42,902 fans. You toss 5 2/3 innings against the Twins. You get a win. Were you ready for that?
I think so. I think at the time, you know, I didn't, you know, when I got the call to come up to the big leagues, it was something I've waited for my whole life. I was still only, you know, 21, but it was, the phone call was amazing. The game, you know, I remember the game, you know, vividly. Having my first game in the big leagues, it was kind of cool because my father, his first game in the big leagues, he pitched against the Twins. And, you know, I had the Twins, so it was amazing. It was amazing. 97 was, you know, a whirlwind of stuff going on, and, you know, I loved it.
Well, it was a season that will live forever in the hearts and minds of Tribe fans. We wish we could continue our chat, Jared, but unfortunately we've run out of time. And on behalf of Tribe fans everywhere, we wish you and yours the very best. And once again, congratulations on becoming a new daddy and for the fourth time.
Bobby, thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
Jared Wright, our latest Tribe Tale.
And that'll do it for this edition of Tribe Talk. Great to have you with us as always. Be sure to have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Our next two shows, we hope you can tune in next Saturday and then the Saturday just after New Year's as well. We will take a look back at the Indians' last World Series win, some of the audio from the 1948 World Series when the Indians defeated the Boston Braves for their last World Series championship. That's the next 2 weeks here on Tribe Talk, and then we'll rejoin you on the other side in 2016 with more of our Hot Stove editions. So until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network.
You've been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Brought to you by Subway, where winners eat.